The following paid program is brought to you by our Grace Legacy Builders. Thank you for helping us proclaim the gospel of grace around the world.
God wants us humble, yes. Humble means we realize that everything that we have, we owe it to God. It comes from Him. So we are grateful and thankful for it. That's how the Lord loves you. With all the power He has, He uses it to serve you, to cleanse you from your defilement and sin.
Are you praying for a second chance, maybe a third or even a fourth? In today's message, Joseph Prince takes you into the scriptures and unveils a God who didn't come to just fix your past mistakes. He came to set you free from every mistake, past, present, and future. Grace. It's not about getting a second chance to try harder. It's a brand new way to live, the new covenant way. In his book, Glorious Grace, Joseph reveals how we don't have to strive to earn God's love or live in fear of his judgment. Instead, we can live in the freedom that Jesus paid for at the cross. In just 15 minutes a day, discover 100 powerful truths that will ground you in God's grace and grow you in the righteousness of Christ. Receive your copy today for a gift of any amount to the ministry in support of our broadcast and outreach initiatives. And for a gift of $75 or more, we'll also send you these bonus resources to help you grow in your walk with the Lord and live out His best for you. Call the number on your screen, text OFFER to 71239, or visit josephprince.org to request your copy now. And now, here's Pastor Joseph Prince with today's program.
The whole reason that Jesus came and died for us on the cross, for our sins, all right, so that sin is no more the subject between you and God. It's a close issue. So when God deals with you, He wants you to know He's not looking at you with all your faults. Whenever you come to me, you know, you say, oh no, just now I quarreled with my wife. Oh no, I gotta come to God now because I'm desperate for His favor. My boss just called me and told me that the deadline has been brought forward. I need His favor. I need His wisdom. I need His help. Oh man, but I shouldn't have quarreled with my wife now. So what are you obsessed with? Not with His love. You're not occupied with His goodness. Not occupied what Jesus did at the cross. You think about it. When Jesus in the upper room, He said, God is glorified in Him and I in God. You know when Jesus said that? Right when Judas, He gave the sop, the bread, He dipped it and gave it to Judas. That's the greatest act of love. In a Jewish tradition, when you dip your morsel of food into the tray and you give it to your whoever you give it to, that's the one that you love the most. That's the one that you are actually honoring the most. Not honoring, but loving the most. Okay? You cannot be honoring the deed of Judas. Judas was in the process of betraying Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. It's all been prophesied in the Bible, even the betrayal, even the 30 pieces of silver. Right? So Jesus gave it to him, and Jesus told him, whatever you do, do quickly. And the Bible says he went out from the upper room. And it's so telling. It tells us, and it was night. It was night. So, spiritually speaking, it was night for Judas. He stepped into darkness. Right? And Jesus knew where he was going, but the apostles all did not. The disciples did not. The disciples thought, the Bible says, because Judas was a treasurer, therefore he took the money, and when Jesus said, do what you need to do, do quickly. Such cool, Jesus is so cool, isn't it? He's telling him, you're going to betray me, do it fast. Amen. He knew. I love the way the whole chapter begins. They say that Jesus, knowing he came from the Father and going to the Father, laid aside his garments and washed the disciples' feet, including Judas' feet. But Judas was still there. And you remember when he did that? He came to Peter. And Peter says, Lord, you must not wash my feet. How can you wash my feet? And the Lord said this to him, if I don't wash your feet, okay, all this is in the Bible. You're looking at me like, I need to show you the Bible. So at least you have a feeling that it is in the Bible, okay? So I said just now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father. I love this. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Okay, drop down. Now, and supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, betrayed him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. So in those days, right, it is like the most menial task of the servant is to wash the visitor's feet. So obviously they had the upper room to celebrate the Passover in a few days. Right after this, Jesus will be arrested and all that, will be the Passover. And the Bible says just before the Feast of Passover, right, Jesus rose from supper. He girded himself. But before that, notice the way it says, he knew the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God. Do you see that? I love it. He rose from supper. That means he knows the Father. He's secure in himself. The Father gave him all things. He's the strongest person in that room, in the upper room. I love it. You know, it takes the strongest to stoop the lowest. For us, we say that, you know, I humble myself. Bro, you're already flat on the ground. You're already humbled. It takes the Most High to be able to humble himself and make himself low. For us, if we know the truth, I don't care about our accomplishments or not that. In the sight of God, all men is flat. They don't realize it. When Adam sinned, all men fell. We cannot go humbler than that. God wants us humble, yes. Humble means we realize that everything that we have, we owe it to God. It comes from Him. So we are grateful and thankful for it. Can I have a good amen, people? So I love it. Knowing He had all things from the Father. Knowing He's the strongest there. Knowing He's the richest there. Knowing He has received all things from God His Father. He rose from supper, bowed down and washed the disciples' feet. Amen. That's how the Lord loves you. With all the power He has, He uses it to serve you. Wow. To cleanse you from your defilement and sin. He uses His power. I love this because, now you must understand one thing. You say that, oh, Pastor, He's instituting the physical, the ordinance of washing feet. Now, I got nothing to say critically about that. Okay, please don't read things into my sermon here. I'm talking about the spiritual truth of what Jesus is doing. Because I tell you this, I don't think Jesus was teaching all this to institute a physical washing of the disciples' feet. I'll tell you why in this context. Did they practice that in the early church? Yes. But I think they practiced that knowing it was figurative. Okay? I'll tell you why it's figurative. Do the disciples know when Jesus took the basin of water and washed their feet? If Jesus washed your feet, if I wash your feet, can you tell? Can you tell I touch your feet? Yeah, of course. Can you tell I'm washing your feet? You can't tell, right? But what Jesus told Peter dropped down to where he says, Lord, are you washing my feet? What did Jesus say? Jesus answered Peter and said, What I'm doing, you do not understand now. Don't you think he would understand that Jesus washing his feet? So obviously, it's not referring to the physical. He's doing something that has a spiritual meaning, a powerful, a deep, poignant truth there. That he's telling them, what I'm doing now, he's doing it physically, but what I'm doing now, you don't know. But you will know hereafter. So in other words, the whole thing is symbolic. The fact that the Father gave him all things, he rose from supper. And supper is a picture of the cross. He died on that cross where the Father says God is glorified in him and he in God. Because the glory of God is shown the fullest way at the cross. Why? At the cross, everything is manifested to the fullest, to the extreme, and to the greatest. The sin of man, never was there a greater sin than to take perfect goodness who came to earth, healing the sick, cleansing the lepers, and stopping deaf ears, opening the eyes of the blind, all right? And rejecting all the good. Not only that, putting him on that shameful death, amen, that cruel death, that torturous death on the cross. So the sin of man is manifested in its fullness against perfect goodness. So Jesus washed the disciples' feet, but he says, what I'm doing, you do not know now. So it's a spiritual washing, isn't it? It's a spiritual washing, isn't it? Because later on in the same upper room, right, in the same upper room, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches, in John 15. And this is what he said, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. And what a price. It's not the blood of angel Gabriel or archangel Michael or one of them. No, it's the blood of God's own son. So we come to this and you see that Jesus is washing their feet and it's a spiritual act. So what was this act? And then he came to Peter and Peter says, you must not wash me, right? And Jesus said, what I'm doing now, you do not know. So obviously it's not referring to the physical one, but spiritual. Let's go on. And then Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Now some people say, well, that shows salvation. He says, you have no part with me. No, salvation is, he would have said, you have no part in me. It is not the Greek word en, E-N, in. En is the Greek for in English. It is the word meta in Greek for with me. In other words, you cannot walk with me. You're safe. You're born again. But you're going to walk successfully with me, like we are communing together, you need the washing of your feet. Notice it's not the washing of the blood anymore. It's the washing of the feet. Because when Jesus rose from supper, it's a picture of resurrection. He's giving us an intimation of what He's doing in heaven for us today. He's waiting for you to come and place your soiled feet, dirty feet, your dirty walk, amen, into His hands. And you say, how can I do that? How can the Lord of glory take my filthy feet? And that's exactly what He wants to do. He wants to love you that way, amen. One of the most beautiful laws in the Old Testament is this, that comes right after the Ten Commandments was given in Exodus 19 and 20. Exodus 20 is when the Ten Commandments comes in. You see Ten Commandments for the very first time on Mount Sinai being given to Moses, to the people. And that's when you see the Ten Commandments for the very first time. You know what's the next chapter? 21. Because that one, this one's 20, right? The next one is 21. Okay? So, you know what's in 21? Very beautiful law. The very first verse says, now, these are the judgments you will teach Israel. When you have a servant, a slave, a servant, all right, that you have purchased. In those days, they live in that culture. So, but God is using something that they can learn about His love. And He says that, and the servant, okay, can only serve for 7 years. And then he's free to go. But the servant has been so blessed by this master, he's a good master, that the servant does not want to go free. And the master has given him his wife, his children, all right? The only thing, if he goes free, he has to leave them behind. Whatever the master gives, he must leave behind. He must start afresh as a free man without all the, any bestowal from the master. But he says, if I love, then he says, I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. I will not want to go out free. The master will take him and nail his ear to the doorpost, which means from then on, he is going to wear something here in the ear. Amen. Nothing wrong. I mean, you're wearing earring and all that, guys, you know. It doesn't mean you're a slave. All right. But in those days, from then on, the guy walks around and he's wearing something in the ear. That means, all right, it's marked. This person chooses to remain because he said, I love my master. I love. Now, is it that God is talking about slaves there? No. Talking about master and slave? No. He's talking about his son and him. Jesus came down as a man. And Jesus saw the church that he would die for. The ones would be saved. And you know what Jesus said? I love my master. I love you, Father. And I love my disciples. And I love my people. And I will not go out free. In other words, in the Garden of Gethsemane, there was a choice made. Want to come back? Not my will. Your will be done. And he remained. He knew that a few hours' time, he'll be hanging on the cross. He chose. He chose because he chose. And that hanging on the cross is pierced. Same thing, the ear was pierced for the servant. And then it says these words in Exodus 21. He remains a servant forever. Amen? In our case, Jesus remains a servant forever. Amen. To serve who? Serve the angels? No, the angels don't need that service. They are there to serve you. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So he wants to serve you. But every day you're serving yourself, you're serving people, you're serving everything, you're serving your boss, you're serving your the needs of your company, you're serving this, serving. You're still serving, except to receive the greatest service of all. The service of love, the ministry of love. To come to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm tired, Lord. But I come before you right now. And sometimes you don't even have to open a Bible. Okay, sometimes. Because I know this is the one thing needful. Everything I did today is not so needful. This is one thing needful. If I do this, Lord, I just want to receive your love. I want to receive your strength. I've been getting very tired lately, Lord. I receive your. I need a fresh infusion of your health, your youthfulness, Lord. Your power, Lord. Your energy, your divine energy, Lord. I need a fresh renewal. And if it leads you to take the Bible, many a times it's with the Word of God. And you say, Lord Jesus, my feet is so dirty. I feel so defiled. I've been hearing conversation that's not good. My mind has been focused on very fleshly things. My mind has been dirty, dusty. Remember this. Man's body was made from the dust of the ground. His spirit is amazing from the breath of God. But his feet is dirty. Right? Always. Why? It's a symbol of what? Your walk on this earth. You're always defiled. Which part of you gets the dirtiest? Your feet. That's where your body comes from, the dust of the earth. When Jesus wiped the feet of the disciples, he says he poured water into a basin, began to wash the disciples' feet and wiped them with a towel with which he was girded. And it's very interesting that the towel that he used in the Greek is lantion, the word lantion in Greek. And lantion is always referring to a linen cloth. Now, why do I say that? Because linen in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, says is the righteousness of the saints, the believers. So in other words, whatever, we know that the water is the word of God. Am I right? So when he washes your feet with the water, so every time you come before Jesus, right, he gives you a word. Amen. He speaks to you. Or through the word of scripture you are reading, don't forget, you come not to give out. You don't come for your quiet time to do quiet time, to finish the chapter that you're reading in your Bible through the year, to do your duty, to make sure you catch up. You get nothing, but you come to him knowing that he's going to pour out to you. And there's not much competition, I'll tell you. I go to Jesus and what he's supposed to give you, right? I get, you know. Does that make you angry or not? What you're supposed to get, right? Right? You would have gotten it. You've spent time with him. He gave it to me. Because he says that there's no one waiting before me. And I'm so full. I'm love personified. I want to give. I want to pour. I have so many good things, perfect things that will truly satisfy. But they don't want. They have no time to receive. They're so busy providing for themselves. Will you take it? And I say, Lord, Lord. Bring it on. Amen? So I purposely say that to provoke you. He has plenty. Leftover, of course. But don't think that God can give to you on the go. It's very hard to give on the go. And I'm telling you, all right? One of the biggest problems is amusement or amusing ourselves with social media and our phones and whatnot. You know, the word amuse, the word A put in front, it always negates whatever follows. So separate the A from the muse. You know what's muse? Meditate. You think long enough. Today's world, especially our young people that are in this generation, born into this age and all that, you know, we are finding more and more things to amuse, to occupy your mind. We have no time to be musing. The Bible says, the psalmist says, while I was musing, the fire burned, then spake I with my tongue. That's the key to a powerful ministry. Meditate while I was musing, the fire burned in the Emmaus Road. Then I spoke with my tongue. This is the key to a successful ministry of preaching the word. Amen. While I was musing, the fire burned. If you've got no fire burn, you just impart knowledge. It's not going to be the same. Are you listening, people? So take away the A, and you have the word muse, meditate. Put the A there, it means what? No meditate. That's the word amuse. Amusement, come from there. Amuse, no thinking, just do. To wipe them with a towel, the word lantion, okay? And I look at the word wipe. I'm bringing this to a close. Wipe. You think about the word wipe. The Lord had me check this word, and I was blessed because the word wipe is ekmaso. Ekmaso. Now, what's ekmaso? Ekmaso. You see, it's made up of two words, ek and maso in the Greek. Ekmaso. Ek means out of, away from. What's maso? Maso is the word devour. Is the word eat or devour. Ek means what? Ek means what? Away from, delivered from, out of, being devoured. So he washes your feet, then he wipes it. Now he washes your feet, it's no more dusty, no more food for the devil. Amen. Amen. And he uses the righteousness of the saints, right? He dry your feet with what? A righteousness consciousness. At the end of the washing is always a righteousness consciousness. You have a fresh sense that you are clean. You have a fresh sense that when he looks at you, that he's not finding fault with you. Are you listening, people? So one of the things you can do, all right? Then Jesus went down. Okay, I'm going to show you what you can do. Drop down. He says, "You shall." Then Peter said, after he says, "What I'm doing, you don't know now." Peter says, "You shall never wash my feet. If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Okay, not no part in me. That's salvation. But Peter is safe. All right, they're all saved. No part with me. In other words, you cannot walk with me. You're still a believer, but there's no co-laboring, no walking together, no communion. To have effective communion, learn to receive my love every day. Receive my word. Amen. Are you listening, people? Let me wind this down. As we talk to each other, let's wash one another's feet. And then let the person go away feeling like, I feel refreshed being in that girl's, that lady's presence, you know. I feel refreshed being in that sister's presence. I feel refreshed in that brother's presence. I feel refreshed in that man's presence. I feel refreshed after I leave him. Why? You know, it's not just pastors. He says that, if I then your Lord, then teacher, have washed your feet. Wash one another's feet. It's like his love, you know. Wash one. You see what I did? Do the same. And you know, the Bible says, husband, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. He's talking about husband and wife, but then he illustrates that this is what Jesus did with all of us. First of all, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present a bride to himself, and that he might sanctify. Sanctify means cleanse her with the washing of, make her holy, set her apart, cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot, amen, or wrinkle. Wrinkle is the idea of age, or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So Jesus does it, gave himself for us on the cross. Now the church is in place. That's you and I, a born-again creature. What do we need? He needs to sanctify us from the world, the defilements, the contamination. And I believe, you study carefully the Levitical ceremonial laws and all that, you find that in the Bible, people that have uncleanness in the book of Leviticus is washed away with water. The whole idea is there. So I think there's a physical benefit, just like physical water washes your physical body from uncleanness and refreshes you. I believe the spiritual water has an effect on your body as well. And there's a verse there, it says, having our bodies washed with pure water in Hebrews chapter 10. So the more you allow the washing of the water, I'm telling you, the healthier you become.
Pastor Joseph Prince will return in a moment with a special prayer to close today's program right after this. Fired up by today's message? With Joseph's book, Glorious Grace, you can keep that fire burning with scripture-based truths that unveil all of Jesus in all his glory. Request your copy today for a gift of any amount to the ministry. Call the number on your screen, text OFFER to 71239, or visit josephprince.org. And now, a closing word from Pastor Joseph Prince.
Throughout this week, the Lord bless you and your families with the blessings of Father Abraham, the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, for Christ has redeemed us from all the law, from all the curse there. So the blessings of Deuteronomy 28 will come upon you, even this week, you and your loved ones. The Lord make his face shine on you as he already is through the work of Jesus Christ, always smiling on you throughout this week, and grant you great favor in the sight of everyone who looks on you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and your loved ones, and grant to you and your loved ones his wonderful shalom, peace, well-being, and wholeness. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and all the people said, amen. God bless you. We'll see you again.
We live in a world that moves faster than ever. Headlines change by the hour. Values shift. Truth feels negotiable. What was certain yesterday is no longer clear today. But through all the noise and the shaking, there is one who is still the same. In the chaos, he is still the calm. In the panic, he is still the promise. Because when all else falters, fades, and falls, he is still Jesus above it all. So no matter what's popular today or forgotten tomorrow, this ministry will still always be all about Jesus. Still the center of our call. Still the heartbeat of our people. Will you still choose to make our mission your mission today? Make your best gift before December 31st. Visit josephprince.org to make your gift now.
In 2016, my daughter was pregnant and she delivered early, 23 weeks, and she had to stay in the NICU for 4 months. A time came where we received a call from the hospital. She had three different bacterial infections and double pneumonia. Her numbers were between like in the high 30s and 40s. They're supposed to be like 85. There wasn't much hope. So it had been like at least 10 years since my life being transformed through the teaching and through Pastor Prince's ministry. I know God wants me healed. I know he wants my family healed. My husband and I were praying. We received Holy Communion, because we receive Holy Communion often. By the time we got to the hospital, she was in the 70s. So while we're waiting, literally, we're watching the numbers go higher and higher. We're just standing, believing God. By the time the doctor came, she was in the 90s. Right now, she is healthy and strong, and we are grateful for receiving a gospel that leaves no room for doubt. We're standing on God's word. It's not just that Jesus can do it, but he's willing. And I knew he was willing to heal my granddaughter. He's faithful, and I'm just grateful for the gospel.
Thank you for being with us today. Join Pastor Joseph Prince next time for a fresh word from the Lord. Joseph Prince Ministries is a Section 501c3 nonprofit organization, and your gift is tax deductible for the amount that exceeds any fair market value of the materials you receive from us. The preceding paid program is brought to you by our Grace Legacy Builders. Thank you for helping us proclaim the gospel of grace around the world.